God, I just pray right now, Lord, that as we come here today, Lord, you'll help us clear our minds. Help us just really focus on you, Lord, and help us to learn, Father, what it means to hear your spirit, to hear your voice, Lord God. Help us to be a little bit more quiet, Lord. As we're singing and as we're praying, Lord, and worshiping you, Father, I pray that those that we know, Lord, that need to get closer to you, Lord, or even people that are going through things, Father, help us to really, during worship, lift them up to you. I just pray right now that you bring those people to our minds, Lord. People that are either searching, Lord God, people that are going through hard times, Father. We know that you are the God above all other gods, Lord. You're the one and true God. And we are going to trust in you, Father.
Hi. Jesus.
you for sinners. You know, I'm just imagining us just being in the middle of the ocean, drowning in our sin. All of the wrong things, all the wrong thoughts, you know, everything that we've done, we're drowning. And then here, in the midst of all of this sin, the Lord throws out this, now I can't think of what the word is. I would say life vest. We'll call it a life vest, but it's life preserver thing. A little hoopy lifesaver. And he saves us in the midst of this all of this junk that we've done. And also the ransom from heaven. I don't want to botch this, but one time Josh was talking about that. A ransom is when you're trying to get back something that already belongs to you. You know, you think of all the movies where someone's stolen and we're going to pay a ransom to get it back. You know, we've always belonged to the Lord, but sin pulls us away. And God paid that ransom. Here's Jesus, my son, the Messiah. And I'm paying that to get my children back. And how awesome how we're so loved that the God that created everything paid a ransom to get us back. Even when sometimes it was our own lusts, our own sin, everything that was pulling us away, a lot of that was our choice. But he still loved us and he's throwing us that life preserver. I praise you for that, Father.
We pour out our praise, pour out our praise, it's your.
Father, help us to praise you, Lord, with every breath that we have, Lord. Even during the hard times, Lord, even when we feel like we can't make it, Father. Lord, we ask for your strength. Lord, we ask you to take away any reasoning that we have, Father, and really just be filled with your Holy Spirit, Lord. The harder the circumstances, Lord, help us to get on our knees, Lord, and just really dig deep in you, Father. Because we know that you're going to give us the answers, Lord, and sometimes your answer is just wait, sit, be in the moment. Sometimes your answer is try harder. But no matter what your answer is, Lord God, I pray that we have that peace that passes all understanding, Father, that we are going to trust you, Lord. Help us not to listen to this world, Lord.
Said, I must turn aside now to see this marvelous sight, why this bush is not burning up. When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Then he said, do not come near here. Remove your sandals from your feet, for this place on which you stand is holy ground. He said also, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the afflictions of my people who are in Egypt, and have given heed to their cry because of their taskmasters, for I am aware of their sufferings. So I have come down to deliver them from the power of the Egyptians and to bring them up from that land to a good and spacious land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanite and the Hittite and the Amorite and the Perizzite and the Hivite and the Jebusite.
In the Bible, it says that our bodies are a temple, and we're a sanctuary. We're a place where the Holy Spirit is able to dwell. So right now, as we're singing this, I just really want to pray that if there's just any junk in us, and I'm sure there's probably at least a little bit, we just say, Lord, please clean us out so we can have more room for your Holy Spirit, Lord. Clean all the junk and the dirt that we're either holding on to, some things that we may not even know that's there, but Lord, Father, we pray that you just get rid of it, Lord. We want you to fill us, Lord. Prepare us.
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary.
Flesh not to rise up, Lord God. Help there be no place for pride, Father. Help us have a broken and contrite heart, Lord. In other words, just get us ready, Lord. Get us ready to be fully surrendered to you, Father. Amen.
You know, we're studying 1 Kings on Thursday night. Thursday night was really awesome. First Kings chapter 8, we talked about this too, but you know, Solomon took 7 years to build this temple. And it took 13 years to build his own temple, but that's another story, his old house. But he took 7 years, and in literally tens of thousands of people and manpower and money beyond measure to build this magnificent temple for the Lord. And in chapter 8, he's dedicating that temple. And you know, with all the stuff and all the trimmings and all the stuff that he did to it, and then it wasn't anything until the presence of the Lord entered that temple and filled the temple. And that's what we want in our lives. It doesn't matter how good we get the outside looking, or how much money, or how much time, or whatever. Like Amster was saying, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And the change comes in when we ask for the presence of the Lord to fill us with His Holy Spirit. That's when the real change, that's when the real power comes in. And that's what we need to ask for in our hearts and in our lives. And so, as we're singing that song, and as we're praying, if your desire is to honor the Lord, that's what we need to ask for. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Fill us with your presence to be overflowing, so that we can be the light of the world to others that he's called us to be. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right. Well, there's a few things to go over real quick before we get started. So let's do that now. Let's see what there. First, of course, as always, as I'm getting this ready, there is Panera Bread in the back. And so if you want some loaves of bread or bagels, we've got a lot of them back there. And so you're welcome just to take them free in Jesus Christ's name. Just give them away. Also, if anybody can serve in the children's ministry back in the back there once a month, if there's a single person or a couple here, please see Lisa. We would love to have you because we just love those kids. We want to invest in them and encourage them. Also, we do a lot of equipping the saints for the work of the ministry, so we've got teachings online for you to listen to if you missed some of the teachings. We've got a loaner library all the way in the back to the left. There's Christian books, there's Christian CDs, Christian DVDs for kids, for adults, whatever, just so to help you grow, and it's a free 2-week loaner. Just take it out in Jesus' name, but please bring it back. And then also just want to encourage you, prayer meetings here at Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. You know what? I'm sorry. The Lord's just kind of stopping me there. I'm going to take a minute, and we're going to just pray for a couple people that are coming to mind, and I'm sure there's more. And if there is, and you want to shout it out, then that's fine too, but the Lord's just bringing a couple people to mind. So forgive us. 1 second. We just want to take some time to pray. Lord, I just want to lift up Anthony to you, Lord, as he's going into loving hands, Lord, that you would just bless him, Lord, and that you would encourage him, and that you would strengthen him to be the man you called him to be. I pray, Lord, just for Flo, Lord, that you would bless her, Lord, that you would protect her in Jesus' name, Lord God. I think even of on our trip here, just one of my sons, Lord, just praying for Natalie and for Olivia on our mission trips in Haiti, Lord, that you would just be with them, you bless them, Lord, you protect them spiritually and physically. Lord, and you also know those who are hurting in here, Lord God, and you know who that is, Lord God, and you know who's playing in the enemy's minds here, and you know who's hurting a heart there. Lord, will you just come upon them? Will you just encourage them? Will you just be with them, Lord God, in every way possible? We just thank you and we ask you for these things right now in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Okay, thanks guys. Okay, so normally we do men's Bible study and dinner this Tuesday, but we are doing, instead, we are going, we'll go through the book of Samuel. I know, hey, we don't do this often, but instead of doing that, we are going to go to All You Can Eat Wings. Tomorrow night, and somebody asked me the time.
Tuesday.
That's what I'm saying. I meant Tuesday. Anyway, yes. So Tuesday, yes, not tomorrow. Tuesday. And what time? I did find out. I think the person who went and said it was in Ellington or Brandon got it wrong because I double triple checked, and it is over 275 over the bridge. So so it's probably going to take, instead of 20, 30 minutes, it's probably going to take like 40 minutes to get there. Yeah. So if you want to make it like 6:45, is that okay time, Gary? Around 6:45, get everybody up there? Does that sound good?
We'll send out a text because we have to figure out what time the buffet starts. So
yes, yeah, just to make sure. Okay, we'll say, yeah. I'll send out a text to everybody if you don't know. And the address.
Well, the address, but some folks may want to carpool from here, too.
Absolutely.
From the west side of town, too.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you do want to carpool, you can call myself or you can call Gary. We can get folks together. We'll match up. We've got some vans going up there. I'm committed. My kids won't let me get out of it. If it was in, like, you know, Alabama, we'd still be going tomorrow.
Yeah.
Tomorrow.
Tuesday! What are you doing?
They have a tomorrow.
Don't judge me. All right, moving right along. No respect. I just realized. Hey, Josh, are you here? I saw Josh. I saw him here.
He's here.
He just wants to. Oh, the baby. Yep, man of ten. All right, we'll have them talk about the youth night. Then I'll just wait for that for next week. Okay, so Thursday night, barbecue and Bible study. Just encourage you to come out. If you don't normally come, we just have a great dinner here. Folks really serve and prepare. There's kids planned. It's a great time, and we have dinner together at 6. It's for the family, and then we have Bible study afterwards. And this week, we're having some old friends of mine come, Jonathan and Robin, and their kids. I had lunch with them, or breakfast with them this week, and man, their kids, Jaden, Jonathan, and Evangeline, just so beautiful. And they actually have been with InterVarsity. They've been missionaries in China. And they're going to be doing some work with InterVarsity. They've started back up there, ministering there at New College and also at Ringling. And for those of you who don't know, that is very much... I think there was like a couple. They've got 3 Christians at New College, so pray for them. They've got a Bible study started there, and they turned at the election. They had flags turned upside down, and so here are these 3 Christians. Man, they had death threats against them, and I think they've decided to stay, or at least most of them have, because they want to serve the Lord. So they're starting that Bible study there anyway, and also at Ringling. Both of which are not don't have a lot of light of Jesus in there. And just to encourage you, we've already supplied them with some training materials to help them minister Bible studies in each of the colleges. Also, about 50 New Testaments we've given to them to give out to students, and we're getting in about another 50 Bibles for their Bible studies. We're just giving it to them in Jesus' name. Anyway, they're going to come out this Thursday to share. I don't know what they're going to talk about. I left it open to them. But they need a lot of your encouragement and a lot of your love. And so when they come here, there's a lot of stuff going on for a lot of different reasons, which I don't need to get into. But if you're here Thursday night, just give them a hug, give them a blessing, and just encourage them.
Have you heard anything from Lester?
Lester and Peggy.
Nathan, you want to take? Yeah, I heard the school Skyped them like last week.
I know that they're still there. They're still wanting to come back to Florida. They've had complications with family that are staying there with them now, as well as still waiting to have funds available for their home to be able to sell. So we continue to pray for them, that God gives them wisdom and direction and makes the path clear for them as to when they're coming back. So
yeah.
I don't know though.
I think somebody was going to meet with them to see if they could rent the house until they could actually get it sold because of the funds going out of the country. But so just keep it in prayer because it's a real tricky situation.
Yeah, they're an awesome.
They're wanting to come back.
Yeah,
they're with us.
They're an awesome couple, and they've been in Zimbabwe doing missions work for 40 years.
40.
They're awesome, man. They're awesome, and they're wanting to come back. So just pray that that place would get rented or sold. In His time, it's all in God's timing, but it's a good question. So just pray for them, and Lord willing, if you'd like to come out Thursday, you get to hear their family. Also, I think Kingdom Living is this week. And when did you?
At Diane's house.
Okay, all right, sounds great. All right, and again, Shepherd's Ark Christian School. I just want to say, guys, just thank you. And God's doing like so much thing on the property. We're starting construction on expanding the septic field back there so that we can possibly get another building back there. And so just pray for that. Of course, everything is impossible, but God has supplied half of the stuff now. More stuff has come in for free. We didn't even ask for it. We just did it. And so we've got about half of the whole project is for free in Jesus' name. And so continue to pray because God's doing a wonderful work. And Laura, are you here, honey, today? Have to try to pass it out next week. Okay, so if you would open your Bibles, we go through verse by verse. Go to the book of Romans, and Joel and Joe, would you travel through these Bibles? All right. If you need a Bible, raise your hand, and JoJo will bring them right to you. And also, if you think, pray for Jim, who usually sits right there. His mom died. Okay, we are in Romans chapter 13. Okay, and as I'm turning there, lights, can you hit those lights for a second? Thank you, buddy. All right. So we went through Romans chapter 10, which is basically the theme was everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. The previous chapters were all just about doctrine, laying the foundation of salvation, of grace through Christ. And then in Romans 10, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. In Romans 11, has God rejected his people? No way, Jose. And in Romans 12, about being transformers, that God wants to transform us from the inside out. And you remember some of the main scriptures there in Romans 12. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship, or your reasonable act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and perfect will. And then we talked about loving more in the balance of Romans, how love must be sincere, sincere, without wax, without hypocrisy. He wants us to hate what's evil and cling to what's good. He wants us to be devoted to one another in brotherly love. He wants us to honor one another above yourselves, never to be lacking in zeal, but keeping our spiritual fervor, serving the Lord, being joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. And we talked about when we're experiencing afflictions, how people either run from trials, rebel in trials, or they respond and rejoice through the trials. And that's what we want to be. And then finally, we talked about blessing those who persecute you, which is not natural. You can only do that by the power of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Okay, so now we are in Romans 13. Now, I would have to say that this is not like, if I had to choose topics to teach on, like pleasant, fun topics, this wouldn't be it. It has to do with submission to authorities, or governing authorities. Now, let me just tell you what everybody has in their minds right now. Let me just give you a visual demonstration of that. We're going to talk about lots of fun things, but why do we do this? Why are we going through and talking about this? Submission to authorities in Romans 13. Why do we bother?
Because it's in the Word of God.
It's in the Word of God. So that means God has said it to us for a purpose, right? It's all inspired. It's God-breathed. So that means God has a message for you, and for you, and even for you, Connie. You have something that he wants to talk about. So, you know, and I know we're kind of living in politically charged times with you know, rebelling against authority is kind of like the fun thing. You know, I'm thinking, man, Lord, why now? You know, he's not my president, or the last president isn't my president. Nobody's my president. Listen, God wants us to be in submission to authorities. So we're going to read the Word, and we're even going to talk about taxes. If that wasn't bad enough, we're going to talk about taxes, and it's almost April 15th. So by the end of this, everyone will hate me. But on the positive side, we're going to have communion afterwards. So you can all be blessed by that as I muddle my way through this fun, fun text. But God does have it here for a reason.
In April, you said April 15th like it was a bad day.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's, besides being tax day, it's also Hezekiah Thunder's birthday. So it's also a good day.
It's really expensive.
So it's expensive to say that twice. That's a parent that said that, I bet. Oh, Lord, my Bible's falling apart. Okay. So as we start out here, why don't we start reading? And let's do a back row read. So yeah, would you mind, let's hand it to Action Jackson. Maybe we could each read a verse or two, or each read a verse. And if you don't want to, just say pass and pass the mic along. Okay, so Action Jackson, you pass the mic here.
Just make sure it's correct. Romans 13, verse 1, right?
Yes, that is right. Absolutely correct, Action Jackson.
Everyone must submit himself to governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God.
Good.
Consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves.
For the rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil do not have fear of authority. Do what is good, and you will have the praise from the same.
For he is God. For he is God's servant. To do you good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword for nothing. He is God's servant, an agent of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer.
Therefore, one must be subject to civil authorities, not only to escape the punishment that comes with wrongdoing, but also as a matter of principle, knowing what is right before God.
First six.
For this cause, pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing.
Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor.
That's what we're doing. And some of you folks have headings in there that should say submission to authorities, submission to government authorities. Now, I take this, we're going to cover a few things, and this can kind of be a very sensitive subject when you're talking about authorities, because I've seen it misused many times. And so we're going to try to talk about all that. I've seen it misused a ton, unfortunately, in churches. And so, but right now we're talking about governing authorities, but we're going to talk about authorities in general. So we go in verse 1. This is what it starts with when it talks about submission to authorities. It starts off with saying everyone must submit themselves to governing authorities. So, you know, you guys know how I like words. You know, I go back in the Greek and the Hebrew is so cool. And when I look at everyone, it's used over 1,000 times. You're not going to believe what it means.
Everyone.
That's all it means. All. Everybody. And so let me ask you something. If you're a Christian here, does that include you?
Yeah.
Does that mean you're always going to like submitting to governing authorities?
No.
Somebody said, yeah. Well, I respect that. Okay, well, for me, it's not always, yeah. When they're handing me a ticket, I'm not always super happy about it. Yeah. Or when I'm paying my property taxes, I'm not too happy about it. But I know, ultimately, that I'm thankful for that. Because I'm thankful that we have a police force. I'm thankful that we have a fire department. I'm thankful that we have government people to be able to help us through some of these things and to do some of the civil authorities. Yes, that's kind.
I just have a question.
Yes.
What if the government is telling you to do stuff that is against God?
Excellent question. And we'll get to that in the next verse.
You want to repeat that so we can hear it?
Okay. Want to repeat it? Okay, you can repeat it nice and loud, Hezekiah. He wants you to repeat it.
The second verse?
No, just your question. Just so everybody heard.
The question was, what if the authorities are telling you to do something that's against God?
Yes, okay. That is a great question. And so if the government is ever, just in short, and we'll get to it in a second. Lord, no, he's telling me to wait. All right, so we're going to wait. We'll cover that in a minute. Okay, so everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, okay? That means if you like this president and he's your president, or you don't like this president and he's your president, we need to submit ourselves to the governing authorities. That means the last president, if you like that president or don't like that president, we need to submit ourselves to the governing authorities. That means if you like our law enforcement or don't like our law enforcement or the military, from within or without, we need to submit ourselves to the governing authorities. Now, it says everyone should submit themselves. It says everyone what?
Must.
Now he's talking to Christians here. And there's a reason for that. But we'll get to that in a minute as well. But everyone must submit themselves. Not should or be good idea or when I feel like it or when I agree with it. Okay? Everyone must submit themselves. Now, that's another thing. Okay. That word submit himself or themselves, to me that says two things. One, it's voluntary. Okay? I choose to submit myself. Okay? So, so one, it's voluntary. And two, the word submit. Does anybody really like the word submit? I mean, if I were to come up to you and say, submit, doesn't it just, I'm just saying, doesn't it just sort of put the hair, it sort of stirs up that rebellion, yeah.
I thought God says he must submit to Christ.
Oh, he's like, oh, we have to submit to come to Christ. Well, that's true. Well, nowadays, submission is such a bad, bad word, and there's been a lot of abuses, and some of you have been abused and have had, you know, maybe it was governmental stuff, maybe it was law enforcement, maybe it was even churches. You know, I've had that terrible, sickening stuff. But God wants us to submit ourselves to the governing authorities. And submission is kind of that voluntary yielding to those authorities. And so it says everyone must submit themselves. And so everybody's all, it gets our dander, right? It gets that rebellion going. I'm submitting to nobody. Nobody's telling me what to do. Right?
But read the rest of it because it makes more sense.
You're right, it does. But I'll get to it in a minute. All right. Now, here, hit off the... you might like this, but... Okay, this is what I think of. When I think of submitting, this is kind of the picture, you know. My dad was an artillery sergeant. So, but I picture a sergeant, you know, just, you know, you will submit, sir. You know, that's just what I, it does, it makes us want to rebel, right? So, but that's what kind of, it gets conjured up in my mind, you know, when I think of submitting. But really, if you're in Christ, before you come to him, what's the first thing you have to do? What?
Submit.
Submit.
Bow down.
You have to bow down, don't you? You have to submit to whose will? That's right. The first thing you have to do, if you ever want to follow Jesus, he said, if anybody wants to follow after me, the first thing you have to do is to deny yourself. That means you need to submit yourself to him. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow him. That's an attitude of yielding to his will over your own. It's a yielding of his word over what you want to do in your life. Doesn't that make sense? So we are to be a submissive people. Now don't. Oh, he's just telling me to submit to anything. Don't jump to all the conclusions that you might be thinking of, okay? Here are some things where, you know, every... I've done a lot of marriage counseling over 20 years, and this is the first thing that every controlling husband comes to me with. Wives need to submit to their husbands! Okay, if you're having to scream that your wife needs to submit, it just... Okay, but the Bible does say that wives need to submit to your husbands as unto the Lord. Okay? You know, and so it does say that we're to submit to our husbands. Now, it also says, you can't see it in here, but husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Now, listen, if you're the man and you're living for Christ and you're loving your wife as Jesus loved the church, and what did he do for the church?
Died.
I mean, he bled and died. He took it all. If you're loving your wife in that kind of a way, do you think there'd be any problem with her submitting to that kind of a love? You know what I'm saying? That's what it's about. But I also want to say for those men, I also go to the... Now, you can kind of see it, the verse right above 22, what it says before wives submit to your husband. What does it say? I'll highlight it a little bit more here. It says... submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Because if we have a heart of humility, it's not going to be my way or the highway. That's not how a godly man does it. Now, there might be times you have to take a stand or something, but most of the time, it's, honey, we're submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. We're trying to want to say outdo each other in showing humility and love and kindness, but that's basically what it is. I'm trying to show my wife humility, kindness, love. She's trying to show me humility, kindness, love right back. Does that make sense? So we're submitting to one another. Well, there is a lot of submitting in the Bible. Like you said, okay, how about this? I can't see the scripture there. George, can you read that? Well, it's 1 Peter something, something.
5-5? Yes.
Right.
Yeah, it's kind of cut off here, too.
Yeah, sorry about that. Oh, and I do these slides. Anyway, it says, in the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders, for those who are older in the Lord. And all of you, clothe yourself with humility, one another, because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. And so, you know, if you've got an older guy in the Lord, and he's trying to share with some things with what the Word says, don't be, I don't need to take that, I don't need to listen to that, nobody needs to tell me nothing. That's dumb. So if you're a Christian, submit yourself to that. If it's honoring the Lord and what they're saying is reasonable, then submit yourself to that.
Does it have to be elder in the Lord?
Yes.
Or just elders, period?
You know what? It's talking in regards to Christ and Christian people. Now, it does say to show proper respect to everyone, Scripture says. So, and to show respect to your elders. So, it does kind of cover that too. But in context.
One thing I've noticed is that submission isn't submission if you agree.
I'm sorry. I'm going to think. You need to say that again and explain it because it's not.
Submission isn't submission. If you agree with the person, then you're just going along with what you agree with. But when somebody is telling you to do something that you don't agree with, then the Lord is telling us to submit. So, unless it's against God's word, which is sometimes an issue, even when you don't agree with your husband or the government authorities or whatever the case may be, you must submit.
Yes. Yeah. I just almost picture Gloria just take the mic and just drop it. You know? How do you like me now? You know? But you know what? Isn't that the truth? I mean, listen, here, if you don't know it, this is going to be a little revelation. If you're new and you're, you know, poor buddy, he's calling me rebellious. Listen, in your fleshly nature, you're a rebel. Apart from Christ, the indwelling of Christ, you rebel. You rebel against God, against God's commands, or what he wants, or what his word says. That's natural. But God is saying, I want the supernatural to be displayed. If you are in Christ, I want the supernatural to be displayed. So when you do not agree, I want you to submit. So that's a good point. I didn't think about what you said for a minute. Now, it also talks about in churches, too. Now, sadly, I have seen this verse, and I know some of you have been devastated. In fact, many of you probably don't know other stories, which may be a good thing. But I hear it all the time. So, but Hebrews 13:17 says this, having confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you. And so that supposes that the Christian leaders are godly. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely.
And they're generally thinking out, look, you know, because they keep watch over you. That means their heart is for you and for this body. And I think I mentioned this last week, I can't remember, but if any of our leaders have to come to you about something, it's either because it's causing you to stumble in the Lord or it's causing others in the body to stumble in the Lord. So you can approach that two ways.
You mean like, I'm not going to tell them about that. I'm going to find another blah, blah, blah.
We don't want to confront, but we care enough about you, and we care enough about those around you that we do. And so God is saying, hey, you need to submit to that authority and do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden. So that's going to be our memory verse for the week.
But you have leaders that sometimes take advantage of that, and it's not from a godly.
We have many, many leaders. In fact, I'll share with you, you know, if it wasn't for God calling me to pastor and teach, you know, like I knew this is what he wanted me to do, I wouldn't do it because I've been so damaged in the past by this. I don't want any part of that, okay? So that kind of leads us maybe to the next verse. Oh, well, let me finish this one. That's a great point, and it's a true point. And, of course, we also know, let me give a few more before I go to that point, but it also says, submit yourselves then to God and resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. So everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, okay? And some people are like, well, is that a translation error? Maybe in another translation, if you go back to the Greek, we have to submit to the governing authorities. Yes. It just, it's plain, it's simple. Here's what it says in Titus. Okay? Titus chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. He says, remind the believers to, what? Submit to the government and its officers. What? They should be obedient, always being ready to do what is good. They must not slander anyone and must avoid quarreling. Instead, they should be gentle and show true humility for everyone.
Who's okay, they?
Huh?
Who's they in that?
They're Christians.
The believers.
Believers okay. In Jesus Christ. So we should be gentle, humble, and showing true humility to everybody. Does that make sense? Yes. You have a question?
I have a question, yeah. I wasn't going to ask a question on my first day, but I was
okay. It's okay. Bring it, baby!
So we have a democracy, a form of government, as opposed to a monarchy or any kind of government where a king is appointed.
Okay, correct.
Actually, which makes...
It's a republic.
It's a republic.
Well, republic.
Yeah.
But we have a system where we are subject to the government, but also the government is subject to the people.
Right.
Right? And we're trying real hard to figure out how to do that correctly for the past 200-something years. Where does that come into this?
You know what? Yes. Great question. As long with that one, and I'm glad you asked it, but give me about maybe a minute.
Okay.
And then we'll, because there are times when we're going to have to.
Because we're.
I just want to say it.
Go ahead.
It's a great question. Good job, buddy. Good job. Yes, Tom, you
want
to say something?
I just want the people to understand that the ruling authority was Nero. Not a friendly guy. To Christians,
yes.
Yeah. Keep that in mind.
Yeah. And all right. It also says this, just in case you're wondering, hey, is this just that one verse thing and somebody's distorting it or a different translation or in the Greek? It says the same thing. Listen, 1 Peter 2:13-14. For the Lord's sake, submit to all human authority, whether the king as head of state or the officials he's appointed. The king has set them to punish those who do wrong and to honor those who do right. Okay? So,
it doesn't say we have to like it, though.
It does not say that we have to like it. Absolutely correct. That's amen to that. And it goes on to say, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. In Daniel, it says in Daniel chapter 2, 20 to verse 21, blessed be the name of God forever. He changes times and seasons. He removes kings. And he sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. And Jesus said, hey, Jesus then said, came to them and said, all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. So you never really have to worry. So that would lead us to verse 2 and some of your questions then. Okay, well, what do we do about this? Is it, let's read verse 2 and then we'll ask this question. Okay, can somebody read verse 2 anywhere where the microphone is? If you just read verse 2 out loud. Thanks.
Consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves.
Okay, so then that's a good question then. Okay, so here's the question for you. So if God says we must submit, and anybody who rebels, so then here's the question. Is it ever okay for a Christian to disobey those authorities?
No.
Why or why not? Okay. Natalie, you're raising your paw?
If it goes against God's word, then yes, it is.
What, say that again with the mic?
If it goes against God's word, then yes, it is. The king told them many times not to bow down and worship their God. prophets bow down and worship him. And they knew it was wrong, so Daniel did not do it. He was punished, but he never grumbled. He never complained, because submission is of the heart. And it's not in, so we can't grumble and complain. Peter was punished many times, or Paul, many times, because he did not obey. But he took his punishment because he submitted and obeyed that authority in the regard of, he knew he disobeyed it because he honored the Lord. Okay, so like Daniel had to go in the lion's den. So, but he submitted. He didn't fight it. He didn't grumble. He didn't complain. You know, he didn't talk bad about the king. That's submission. But yet, still obeying God's word first.
Okay. Is she right or wrong? There's another hand up there. Any more hands? Okay. We're going to bring you the mic, so yeah, so everybody else can hear you. Could be right, could be wrong. I'm not saying it yet.
In the incident of John and Peter, they were commanded by the Sanhedrin to stop preaching in the name of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Stop using that name. Stop preaching. And they said, that is it right for us to obey God or obey man? We must obey God in this situation. And they did not stop preaching the word of God in the name of Jesus.
Anything else? Carl, you have something back there? Anybody else? Yeah. Oh, somebody heard
Nigel. I mean, it's not always...
behind you, but...
You don't have to... I don't think you got to obey him all the time. Any authority. Because some of those authorities are breaking the law. And if you know that they're breaking the law, you have a right and an obligation to stand for what is right. As we bring it into modern times. That's my gist.
Okay. Anybody else? Go ahead.
There's been some changes since I went back to work from my foot and everything been hurt. And one has been an ongoing, it's where they have really forced the rule. We cannot talk to our patients, not even our hospice patients that are dying, about God. We can't even ask them if they're saved. If we do, we get wrote up and get punished. And I don't feel like I need to, I don't want to submit to that. Because if somebody's, you know, on the verge of death, especially, you know, if they're not saved, I want to talk to them about God. Okay. And to me, that's like what your son was saying, you know, that's like, you know, they're stopping me from talking to somebody that needs God, and I'm not allowed to say anything to them.
But if you get fired, you can't help them at all.
I can't help them. I do nothing. I can't say anything to them. And, but what I do is I look around their house. If I see a cross or a Catholic, some of them say, oh, you're Catholic, you know, and they say, yeah, are you a Christian? Then I go into it. Well, and they can't say nothing to me then.
Well, you know, and here's the thing.
Because the patient brought it up.
You know, if the government commands you to do something that is against the Lord, or against his commands, then you have to stand with God. Or if the Lord commands you to do something and the government tells you you can't do that, well, then you have to stand with God. And then take the consequences that come. You know? And that's something, you know, when I think about some of these, here's some scripture verses, and because I've watched, like I said, I've actually sadly watched so many churches use this authority thing, and it's just crazy how they manipulate the word, and just so many people are just broken, beat up vessels. It's sick. But there are times too when a Christian can disobey the authorities under those conditions. And you don't remember all the way back in Exodus chapter 1? Remember verse 17 and 21? Pharaoh had said that, hey, the Hebrew kids, you know, can't do that, and the midwives feared God, and they didn't do as the king of Egypt commanded them. They were supposed to kill him, you know, get rid of him. And but let the male children live. And it says, because the midwives feared God, he actually gave them families of their own. Wow. That's all the way back in Exodus. Now, if you remember Moses, It says this in Hebrews 11:23. It was by faith that Moses' parents hid it. This is when he's talking testimonies of faith. Part of that testimony in Hebrews 11, right, is it says it was by faith that Moses' parents hid him for 3 months where he was born. And they saw that God had given them an unusual child, and they were not afraid to disobey the king's command. Okay? If you remember back in Kings, there was a guy named Obadiah. He worked for Ahab, who was the king of Israel, and Jezebel. I don't even know. She's just a wicked woman. Let's just, nobody names their girl Jezebel for a reason. And so, even now, you know. So they were a wicked king and queen, right? And it says, well, Jezebel was killing off the Lord's prophets. Here they are, the governmental authorities, right? Obadiah had taken 100 prophets and hidden them in 2 caves, 50 in each, and had supplied them with food and water, because that was against what the Lord commanded. Some of you, I think it was Natalie, who reminded me of Daniel. Chapter 3, verse 17, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they wanted him to bow down. You guys remember that story, right? Before the golden image. Yes. Everybody, he's the king of the world. Everybody needs to bow before him. And what did he say? You know, he says, hey, if you don't do this, we're going to throw you in the blazing furnace. And he says in verse 17 of Daniel 3, if we're thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, they were respectful, but even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, they're being respectful. They're just saying respectfully, no, I'm not moving. He says, your majesty, we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold that you have set up. See what I'm saying? They're asking him to do something that is against the Lord and against his word. No, I can't do that. That means I get thrown into the fire. Now, you guys remember the story. Who met them in there? Mm-hmm. An angel of the Lord. And then, I think, Acts 4:18 says the first time the apostles went in there, it says that they called them again and commanded them not to speak or teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, judge for yourself whether it's right in God's sight to obey you rather than God. For we can't help speaking about what we have seen and heard. Whatever happens, happens. And then, of course, oh, your text there. I meant to put some extra verses there. Oh, just ignore that. It says, of course, in Acts 5:29, it says they told them the same thing. This time, they flogged them. Do you know what that means? Mm-hmm. They whipped them. Yeah. They said, you need to stop speaking in the name of Jesus Christ. And they whipped them with a cat of nine tails or whatever. And Peter and the apostles answered, we must obey God rather than men. God has told you to preach the word. Now, you know, what then? Anyway. So, there are times where that's going to happen. Yes, Elijah.
Isn't it how interesting how many of the people, you know, that still stand for God got rewarded, and even though the ones that weren't rewarded in their physical body were rewarded in their spiritual body.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. That's actually really... That's really a good point. You know, even in Daniel chapter 6, they told him he couldn't pray to the Lord. Well, somebody says you can't pray to the Lord. Well, Daniel's like, I can't not do that. I'm going to put the window open and I'm going to pray to the Lord anyway. And so he got down, he prayed. He knew it was a trap. There are other people trying to trap him. You know what happened. And it's a long story, but... But you know the end result is God saw him through that. But regardless, if you're thrown into the furnace or chomped on by the lion, we are to do what God has asked us to do, regardless. Okay, so you have to make a decision. I'm not going to sit here and tell you what to do. That may not be the company you want to work for. Or you may do, if the Lord is putting that on your heart, you may need to speak it anyway. If they fire you, they fire you. I'm not going to tell you what to do. You have to...
Patience brings the subject up.
You're allowed to talk.
I'm allowed to talk, but I can't bring it up.
Yeah. Yes.
This is 1 Peter 4. Thank you. This is 1 Peter 4. I'll start with 14. Okay. If I can find it again, because I scrolled too low. Okay. Here, I'll start at 12. Do not Beloved, do not be surprised at the fire we ordeal with is taking place to test you. That is, to test the quality of your faith as though some strange or unusual thing were happening to you. But insofar as you are sharing Christ's sufferings, keep on rejoicing, so that when his glory, fulfilled with his radiance and splendor, is revealed, you may rejoice with great joy. If you are insulted and reviled for bearing the name of Christ, you are blessed, happy with life, joy, and comfort in God's salvation, regardless of your circumstances, because the Spirit of glory and of God is resting on you and indwelling you. He whom they curse, you glorify. Make sure that none of you suffers as a murderer or a thief or any sort of criminal in response to persecution, or as a troublesome meddler interfering in the affairs of others. But if anyone suffers ill treatment as a Christian because of his belief, he is not to be ashamed, but is to glorify God because he is considered worthy to suffer in his name.
Yes.
Amen.
Good.
In response to what Adam said, is there are a lot of authority that are wrong. And sometimes you have to obey, you have to submit at the moment. And there is a proper time to come against that authority and follow the chain of commands, report them. But, you know, I know there was a lot of incidents that happened where people were getting pulled over and there was a lot of controversy with that. But when you butt their authority at that moment and things happen to you, you know, people are getting shot, then you're not there to come against them or have, you know, your voice really isn't going to be heard.
Yeah. Well, we're to do it. That's why he's telling us to do it, to submit respectfully.
At this level, you may. And then,
even if you have.
There is a proper time here today. Back then, there wasn't because, they're just.
Well, if you noticed all these people, you know, hey, judge for yourself. They're not like, you know what I mean? Do you know what I'm saying? That's how they were. Joe, can you hit the light for a second? And since we have communion, I'm going to maybe zip. Let me just go through a couple of these verses real quickly. Verse 3, it says, "For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and he'll commend you." You know what? I go to eat at a place, and there's cops that go in there all the time. Now, there was a time in my life when I saw a cop in a restaurant, I would not be happy. I'd be very uncomfortable. I'd be wondering if he knows what I'm doing or what I did. Do you know what I'm saying? Before I began. Doesn't even get into that. But even, you know, and so I wouldn't like it, man. It made me afraid. But you know what? Now, I'm in this restaurant now. And God's changed my life. I'm happy to see the guy. Now, this guy, he's about 7, was one of the guys named Bruce, I think. He's like 7 foot. Yes, Magic County. Now that same guy. That same 7-footer, who I'm happy to see, give a slap on the back, glad to see him. Now in a different time, he was threatening. You know, he's like, "You're going down on the ground, or I'm putting you down." And so I went face first in the gravel, knee in the back, and cuffed. Before he realized they made a mistake. An identity. I wasn't the guy, the armed robber that robbed the bank, but whatever. So listen, you know, but I have no fear of that authority now. And so so if you do what is right, you know, you won't need to fear that authority. It goes on to say this. It says, for he is God's servant to do you good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword for nothing. He is God's servant, agent of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Now, for those of you who don't know, God's judgment brought in Israel as they were doing wrong. Sometimes those authorities are to bring in the hammer or to bring in the sword, you know, to bring judgment. I think of the Assyrians were brought in, if I remember correctly, for Israel. When Israel was disobeying the Lord, it was God that sent them in. When Judah was disobeying the Lord, it was the Babylonians that God sent in because they were disobeying the Lord. Goes on to say in verse 5 and 6, therefore it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, I just don't want to get in trouble, no, but do so for conscience sake, because it's the right thing to do. And then they goes on to say this. This will be a fun one. This is also why you pay taxes. For the authorities are God's servant who give their full time to governing. Listen, if that means, here's what that means. If you have property taxes, pay it. If you have income tax, you pay it. I don't like paying income taxes, okay? I'm sure you do. That means you don't cheat on your taxes, right? That means you don't work under the table to get a little bit, well, because the government doesn't know. If you're a Christian, you're to be a man or a woman of truth. That means you don't sell out, even if it gives you a little bit of extra cash. It says pay your taxes. You know, and to do so out of conscience. Here, hit the light for a second. The IRS even has a conscience fund, which we're losing in America, but that's another story. You know, it started in 1811, and it started by receiving $5 from somebody who had a guilty conscience. And over its 206-year existence, the smallest thing that they received was 9 cents from a person who felt guilty because he reused a governmental stamp 3 times, a 3-cent stamp. And then the largest donation was made in 1990 in the amount of $155,000. And one man sent a letter saying, "Dear IRS," gotta make sure your heart's right in it. He sent, "Dear IRS, I have not been able to sleep at night since I cheated on last year's income tax. Enclosed, find a check, cashier's check for $1,000. If I still can't sleep, I'll send you the balance." But, and then Business Insider reported, this is just in March 12, 2017, that the fund has received a lot less in recent years because people's consciences are being seared as with a hot iron. It's hard even to get Christians to do the right thing now. It's crazy time. Even basic biblical stuff. Well, you can't judge me. No, I'm not judging you. God's word is saying it. But it says in recent years, it's received a lot less, with $1.1 million in donations in 2014, $427,000 in 2015, and by 2016, it had fallen to just $23,000. And to date, in 2017, it has seen just one donation in the amount of $1,600. Our consciences are getting seared. I heard one guy, you know, some people will say this was why I don't pay taxes. I know folks, and listen, that means if you need to get your driver's license renewed, you pay the money. I know folks, friends, that have gone to jail because they refused to pay the money to get their license. I know a guy who put a 5-year court case because of a building permit for $50. Kid you not. And this is, there's a guy by the name of Kent Hovind. He's a creation scientist. And he's probably a really wonderful Christian man in many sense. But, you know, this is what he said. He's not going to pay his taxes or abide by anything. And so he refused to pay. And there were 58, he was indicted on 58 counts of illegal activity, tax evasion, because this is what he said. He says, "Our citizenship is in heaven," which it is, okay? "And from it we await our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly bodies to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself." So what he said was, I'm a citizen of heaven, so I don't have to pay these fees and these taxes. Now, when the government came after him, you know what he filed? Bankruptcy. So he used the courts when it was convenient to. Anyway, it's just very sad. That makes us look like idiots. Well, I'm a citizen. My citizenship's in heaven. Okay, so don't call the police or fire department when your place burns down. Do you know what I'm saying? Imagine if we didn't have, folks, law enforcement. For example, what do you think would happen when you left this? Would you even make it home? Do you know what I'm saying? Or when you got home? Defenses would you have to be set up? Or what would you have to have if we did an offering here? Everybody would have to have an Uzi on their hip or something. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It would be crazy. But it's very clear, pay your taxes. And I don't have time to go into the next part because I know he's going to do it. I know you have the message, but there was a time when Jesus even said, you know, they came to Jesus and they said, "Hey, is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" And you know what he said? He says, "Give to Caesar what Caesar." He says, "Show me a coin." He says, "Whose picture is on it?" him Caesar. It's his mint. He said, give to Caesar what Caesar, or render to gods what gods. They were trying to track him. In other words, Genesis says, listen, that coin bared Caesar's image. Give that to him. Genesis says, you are made in his image. You bear him his image. You give to God what's God's. You give your life to God. Pay the taxes. Move forward. We should be Christians. We should be the most godly citizens ever. Not thinking that we can get away with everything because we're born again. You know what I'm saying? We should be the most godly, committed. And there'll be times when we have to disobey if they're asking us to do something against our conscience, against the Lord. But even then, how do we do it? With respect.
And love.
And love. Amen. So give everybody honor, whoever they honor, that last verse says, and respect, respect. Peter says, honor all men. Love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king.
Why is honor spelled like that?
Old English.
Yeah. And the last thing, you know, Tom mentioned this as we're closing out, and I'll bring him up to your communion. Gary, come on up here. The last thing, this is a picture of Nero's Appian Way. You know, when Paul wrote this, Nero was in charge. And for those who don't know, Nero was a wicked, wicked man.
He burnt down like one third of Rome.
He burnt down a third of Rome. That's correct. Yes, Elijah.
He was basically the Hitler of the Roman age.
Yes, he was. And so when he's telling you to be subject to authorities, Nero's in charge. When he's saying to pay taxes, let me tell you, he persecuted Christians. When he burnt down part of Rome, people just started to dislike him. He said Christians did it. And so he started persecuting them. He would throw them in jail. This is true. This is Tacitus, the historian, says that they would sew up animal skins on Christians and feed them to the dogs. It says that he would dip them in wax or tar and along this Appian Way and in his garden, you know what he'd do? He'd put a pole on these Christians, okay? Dip them in tar or wax, and it lit up about 13 miles of the Appian Way. He said, hey, you want to be the light of the world? Light it up this way. So, and what I'm saying is, Paul had people in Caesar's household. He could have said, let's start a revolution, let's kill people. He didn't do it that way. He trusted God. You know what I'm saying? He wouldn't submit to ungodly authority, but he wouldn't handle things that way. So this is a time. So and things, listen, whether you like our president now or you didn't like our president then, whatever the case may be, let's do what the word says. It's not as bad as Nero's days. Okay, does that make sense, guys?
Yeah.
All right, so as we hand out the elements for communion, Gary, want to lead us in?
Would everyone go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11?
What was it, Gary?
1 Corinthians 11, chapter 11. And we'll begin with verse 23. This is from a letter from Paul. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we judged ourselves, we would not come under judgment. When we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be condemned with the world. I'd like to look at a couple things in this passage. First, in verse 23, Paul isn't sharing what's common among men. What he's sharing is what the Lord had given him. I specifically believe that the Lord gave him and told him to pass on to the Corinthians. It was a time in Corinth where, frankly, they weren't treating the Lord's Supper with respect. So this was a specific message. The next thing that I wanted to look at was the fact that Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. And I started thinking, well, what does it mean to remember? The word that's used in Greek actually is recall, to call again, to think again about these things. Well, what are we thinking about when we think about communion? Right? If we're thinking about, and I think that's told in verse 26, for whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So we're remembering the Lord's death. Well, what does that mean to us? Right? I think it means that, that Amy talked earlier about, the vision that she had of us being in a sea of sin, right? But what it means, though, is that we're able to remember not only the sin in our lives, but through the crucifixion and the blood of Jesus, the remission of sins, the fact that we are called back to the Lord, that we don't have to stay stuck, hanging on to a life preserver. We can go to the Lord and find forgiveness for our sins. And that's what we're remembering when we remember his death and resurrection. Finally, in verse 27, it says, therefore, not to take the Lord's Supper unworthily. And, I always understood this to mean that non-believers, if you did not believe in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, should not take communion. And I believe that's true. And if anybody here is in that situation, please talk to Pastor Darren, myself. Talk to somebody before you leave today so we can talk to you about why you don't want to stay that way. And that, but it also, I think, means that if there's some sin in my life, if the Lord has revealed something in my life and says, I want you to fix this, Gary, and I'm in open rebellion, and I'm really in a position that I should not be taking the Lord's Supper. Now, that doesn't mean that I want everybody here to take the Lord's Supper, but I think it means that before we do, we need to examine ourselves, say, Lord, is there anything that I need to be changing in my life? Is there anything that you want me to do differently? Anybody I need to forgive? Is there some addiction that I need to be free of? In that? But remembering his death, we know that he will bring repentance. If we repent, he will bring forgiveness. He will reunite us to him. He will make us clean in the blood of Jesus. That's what we're truly remembering. So, guys, would you pass out the elements? And Josh is going to give us a little music to pray by. But I would encourage you all to take a moment and ask the Lord, what he would have you know this morning. Is there something in your life that he wants to change, that he wants to make better, and that through his forgiveness, through his body, his broken body on that cross, through his blood, the shedding of the blood of the Lamb, is there anything that he wants to change? And then after you spend some time with the Lord, then take the body, take the blood, knowing that Christ's redemption was for all of us. please join me in prayer. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the Lamb who was slain for the remission of our sins. We thank you for the blood that allows us to come into your throne room and have the Holy Spirit live with us, Lord. I ask now that you bless this, your people, Lord. Guide our steps over this next week. Help us to manifest Jesus in all that we meet, Lord, so that others may see you in the things that we do. Guide our steps. Watch over us. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Have a blessed week, everyone.